This conference will...
Okay, there she goes. Thank you, Lydia. Okay, so today we're going to talk about approaching nonprofits. And you know, a lot of you on this call have already been doing this. I'm not stepping in and saying and raining on your parade and doing anything. I know Wendy Kramer's got a great website. She's got great materials out there. I've looked at all of that stuff. Some of you have been using it. Some of you have been working really hard at it, trying to break down, break the ice. And I'm not... I'm stepping in, and I'm not. It's not like I'm trying to walk in at the 12th hour. I'm just stepping in today because I've gotten some feedback in the field that people aren't as effective as they want to be. They're coming up short. They're tripping over their own feet. And so what I want to do today is kind of lay a foundation, how I'm approaching it, because I really haven't gone out there and done a lot of this yet because I was waiting for Manatech to come up with the solution that we desperately need. That is, that the nonprofit doesn't have to make a nickel of investment up front and doesn't have to make a nickel of investment on a monthly basis. When we get that in place, which is coming at ManaQuest, that is the real, you know, to me, the real, you know, item that had to happen before I went out and approached a nonprofit. Because nonprofits are not going to, you know, get involved in network marketing. It's not their shtick. That's not their deal. That's not necessarily what they want to do. And so part of the whole process, I mean, giving up their Social Security number, i.e. tax ID number, and paying a $500 fee to get an All-Star pack, and then monthly, you know, buying Fidelberg shoes for the nonprofit on a monthly basis. I mean, these were awkward things that caused us to trip up and fail in many instances as we went forward approaching churches and not-for-profits. Sam saw that way back, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago. He had trouble. He had some churches here in town that got caught up into this and really wanted to. In fact, one of them, I believe, don't quote me on this, but I believe T.D. Jakes Church. Some of you are familiar with that Potter's House. It's less than 5 miles from my house, which is a blessing for me because I get to go there once in a while, and that's always a joy to celebrate with his church. They got involved, I think, for a little while, and then they shut it off because they abhorred the concept of this whole monthly, you know, order requirement and all this kind of stuff. So, I mean, it shuts people down. It shuts different entities down. So now that we have this coming at ManaQuest, I think it's going to open the floodgates for us to be much more effective in our approach to nonprofits. But I also wanted to open some people's eyes because I've done nonprofit fundraising before. I'm sitting on the board of directors of 2 nonprofits. I've set up my own, and I've incorporated another one that was pre-existing as unincorporated before I got involved in it. So, and I've worked with fundraisers in regard to that, and so I have a little bit of familiarity. Definitely not entrenched in it. It's relatively new to me, just in the last 4 to 5 years, but I wanted to perhaps give some other insight into it to all of you to help you in your approaches and what to look for, what's out there for you to support you in doing this. Because like anything else, you've got to do your background research, and that's critical. If you just want to go out there and just start knocking on nonprofit doors, you're going to fail. I'm going to suggest you're going to fail. You've got to research it. Just like when you guys remember, perhaps some of you have been in ManaTech long enough, you remember when I went after the chiropractic organization, and it took me a year. I invested my time and energy for 1 year with the International Chiropractic Association of dedication of time, working with these people, flying them in town to visit with Sam and the doctors on staff and all, before I got their endorsement for Ambertose. They endorsed Ambertose, okay? And that was awesome, but it took a year. Well, some of your nonprofits that you're going to work with, you might need to work with them for 6 months before you get them committed. But look at what you're going after. You know, that's what you've got to do. You've got to make the decision, is this going to be something I'm going to put myself behind and really help to make this work? You can't look at nonprofits as something that's going to happen tomorrow. You've got to look at it as, this might take me 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. It might even take me a year to get where I want to be in this organization. So that's the attitude I want you to have, that you know it's an investment of time and energy, and that's something you need to have to build with that expectation, all right? So and I'm all in on this because I'm totally committed to people that have those kind of hearts. So First of all, my first part of the outline, I just talked about why should we do this. Number one, nonprofits need money, and they need it now. And just to give you some statistics, I did some digging around that. And one article out there, and these were dated back in late 2010, but they talked about the recession continuing to exact toll on nonprofits. A survey found that nearly 40% of nonprofit organizations lack adequate staff to deliver their programs and services. Because as soon as the recession hit, it put tremendous, stress on nonprofits to cut back. And the cutback, their overhead, is mostly people, right? I mean, that's so a lot of the people they had to let go in the nonprofits that were on paid, positions before. So, it's just really difficult. So because there's a tremendous cutback in contributions that are being made. There's another great article, the one that I attached. I think Lydia sent it out after the outline. It's going to be attached to the outline as it's posted on the Manatrain website. But it's called As Money Disappears, What Nonprofits Can Do. And this is a great article. In fact, I'm going to use some of the pieces in it in putting together my package of how I approach nonprofits. Because it talks about, as both public and private funding for nonprofits drying up, leaders in the sector recognize that a weaker economy leads to increased demand for social services. So we have this inverse relationship. We have a tremendous drying up of funding getting into nonprofits, but we have all this demand for the social services that are typically offered by nonprofits. So we got a burgeoning demand and we got a weakening of supply. So we have this crisis going on in terms of helping the the less privileged, the poor and the needy, and it's a sad thing. It's a lot of people are being left out in our world today, in our country today, and the political pressures are also cutting back. As you can see, Washington, the direction that's going is cut back on all the social programs and, keep pouring money into the millionaires. And I'm not getting political about this, but the idea is like no tax increases, but we're going to cut back on all the social programs. Well, once again, we're watching a real issue happen with a disparity of income in our country, and that's causing a lot more pressure on the not-for-profits. So we have a heart and passion for this, so we see what's happening out there. And some of the languaging in this article, the City Limits article that you all have, talks about how what a nonprofits need to do. And one of the big items they put in there is think and act like a competitive business. Well, isn't that awesome? Because that's really what when we incorporate Manatech into their business, we're getting them more business orientation. We're getting them a position where they're in a more business orientation. The other item in there, it says, what is the other thing they need to do? They need to, are you ready for this? Quote, unquote, brainstorm new ways of generating income. La-da! That's exactly what we're talking about. So that's what makes this article so incredibly great for our energy around, what we need to do and how we approach nonprofits. So that, again, that article is being sent to you. It wasn't attached to the outline. I apologize for that. But Lydia says you've already got it. So if you look in your email bank, you have it there. But it's also, again, on the Manatrain website. So that's the kind of information that tells you now's the time. It's super that's the kind of information out there. That's the kind of data that's being promoted. They need to think and act like competitive business. And number two, brainstorm new ways of generating income. Who are we? That just puts exclamation points after why Manatech is an answer for them, right? The second reason we should do this is because we have like hearts. We have hearts to serve, hearts to make a difference. We're a cause-oriented approach to life. So, all of this is about, we're servants' hearts. And that's what are nonprofits. They're servants' hearts. For the most part, that's exactly what causes them and leads them to do what they're going to do. So that's awesome. So we fit. There's an automatic fit. There's that like-mindedness. It's just great to work with people with that like-mindedness. You don't have to, the real world out there sometimes has a lot of people around you that just shut you down because they're brash and cynical and sarcastic and all this. Well, when you start working with nonprofits, you have that like-mindedness of just, okay, let's look at how we can create a difference, how we can make a difference, how we can flow. And I'm not saying you're not going to find some cynicism in some of those people because, we're all created. We're all free will people, so we have this option to choose cynical. But the idea is that they're more heartfelt. They're generated because that's what causes them and leads them to be in the position they're in. So that's wonderful. The third reason we want to do this is because it causes us to focus on other people. And when we focus on others, we clearly excel in life. It makes all the difference. It takes you off thinking about yourself. It takes you out of your old doldrums and everything that might be going on in your life. And right now we have a society that's in a contraction, fear kind of mode, and it's sad because that's our biggest deficit. We don't, people talk to me about, oh, Mary Jo, we got the recession, we got this, the jobs reports, this shit. And I says, are you kidding me? That is nothing. None of those things are problems. What the biggest problem in this country is today is just pure attitude. It really is. It's pure attitude. When are you going to quit being in the doldrums? And one of the greatest ways to knock yourself out of focusing on yourself and your own stock market or your own bank account or your own unemployment or your own this is to focus on others. And that's really, for me, that's what Scripture tells us to do. That's the number one thing we're here to do on the face of the earth. So, you know, that's what we need to be doing is focusing on others. And no better way to do it than with nonprofits, being a part of that process of focusing on others. And the fourth reason I put in there why we should do it now is what we already discussed, which is that we've got this incredible program coming up, released at ManaQuest, on these new application forms and a sign-up process whereby the nonprofit has to put, it can become a quote-unquote all-star. Okay, so they're going to be an all-star associate, be able to earn all-star bonus type things, not power bonus, but I mean income, okay? That they're going to be able to earn that residual income with some few adaptations, and you'll learn that when it comes out at ManaQuest. But because they can't earn power bonuses, they're not buying an all-star pack. That's got to be clear to everybody, okay, and those kind of bonuses. But the idea is they're going to be able to earn that residual income. They're going to be able to make residual income in that position without even putting in an automatic order. So it's going to be exclusively for not-for-profits, and it's going to be a great program to rid that stickler idea that's caused some problems and rifts with not-for-profits in the past. Okay, so those are, and you can probably think of many more reasons. Those are just the four off the top of my head that I put in the outline just to help you, give you a base of understanding of why this could be a great vehicle for you. Secondly, how to lay the foundation. This is kind of, I wanted to put together a to-do list pre-ManaQuest. Because some of you think, oh, man, I already have a few nonprofits right around the corner. I'm going to run over there and start signing them up. I don't think that's the way to do it. I think I'm just against that today because I think that you need to become educated about what nonprofits are all about, what their whole focus is, what their energy is, and then do specific research on specific foundations that you plan on approaching. So as I state this, I say just like all possible prospects for you, you want to focus on them. In other words, you want to do the research. You want to go through that discovery process with them. And that doesn't mean knock on their door and go visit them. It means to go through the underlying discovery process first. So what you want to do is you want to research each nonprofit you're planning on approaching. So that's critically important. So, and we're going to talk about locating foundations in your area. It's under C. Those probably are in your outline. You might want to put C first, but sorry about that. But the idea about once you locate the ones you want to approach, maybe they're 10, maybe they're 20, maybe they're 5. I don't know. Everybody's marketplace is a little different. I wouldn't suggest you go to approach national organizations that are in New York City when you live in California. I mean, that might not be your highest and best use of your time. You know, it's going to be very challenging when you go after bigger organizations. We already went after, for instance, we've already done some approaches towards the Girl Scouts of America, okay? So that's a gigantic organization. But, of course, one of my big problems with them is, you know, they sell cookies that are, you know, have trans fats. They also have a fundraising program in the fall that they go and market candy. I mean, this is like some really garbage stuff going on. It's so inconsistent with the values as I see the Girl Scouts should carry, right? So, that's a huge organization. For me to change their whole process of thinking, I mean, I have a number of people that are working with me on it, but, you know, we decided that it's going to be roots, starting with the roots, and the troops have a lot of freedom to do different things on their own. So we're structuring it a little different in that regard rather than trying to spend the next 5 years of my life getting one national or international organization, right? Girl Scouts of America, national organization. So think in terms of size, too. It might be a big win-win for you, but you know what? Do you have 5 years that you're going to dedicate 24/7 to try to get that to happen? I don't know. So bite off things that are chewable by you. Don't try to take on something that's too overwhelming. And foundations can operate with affiliates that can do things unilaterally, and so you can sometimes get things done at the local level that you couldn't do on the national level. So understand that as well. But research each nonprofit you're planning on approaching, so you want to find out information about them. You want to find their mission statement, how they raise money, how big they are, who their movers and shakers are, what kind of donors they have, size of their organization. All these things are what you want to find out about the foundation before you even make your first contact. And you also want to learn their language. Different foundations speak different language. They have different languaging because they've all taken on different causes. So it's intriguing reading some of their materials and some of their fundraising materials, some of their mission statements, you know, doing the Google research on them. You're going to find out what their focus is, what their direction is. And that's what I mean by languaging. I'm not talking about foreign languages. I'm just saying they're going to use words differently, and they're going to have a different perspective of what's most important. So you've got to get an awareness of this. This is research. This is just you doing research so that when you walk in that door, I want you to have the feeling that when you make that first appointment and walk in that door, when you make that first phone call, you almost know as much as the person you're talking to about their foundation. That doesn't mean you correct them when they start talking about their foundation, and it doesn't mean you throw things in their face. It just means that you are going to be in a capacity to be much more familiar to them because you can speak their language, and you can be honored by working with them because you agree with their mission. And, you know, you think it's so incredibly worthy. And that's the kind of languaging. Because you're going to lift up these people. Notice all the things I'm saying are really nothing different than effective prospecting in network marketing. It's about getting to know as much as you can so you can pour into people. And remember that famous saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And so how do you show how much you care? You're a great listener, but you also have done your homework. And this is what this is about. The other thing I suggest you do is find a local person in your community who does fundraising for nonprofits. There are paid professionals in your community. I don't care how small your community is, you're going to have somebody in the area that's a paid professional fundraiser. And you can find out who these people are by contacting, you know, different organizations, nonprofit organizations, and find out how they do their fundraising, those kind of things. But you can also, they're also listed. These guys do advertising because they want more money. When they're professional fundraisers for nonprofits, they get a percentage of the take. So every time they raise money, they get a percentage. And I happen to have one of these guys in my own backyard because we took him to Brazil with us on our last mission trip. He's going to help us set up a program for our P70 organization. So the reason I suggest this is because they can give you a tremendous amount of insight you can't get. You know, again, people, this is not about relying on you. It's about relying on other people to educate you. And you just walk in and you just play dumb. I mean, you dumb down yourself. Don't walk in like you know it all. Just be very open to hear and learn. Get your questions outlined before you go in. Some of you go, well, I don't even know what question to ask. Well, start off with, oh, you know, what are you doing for, how many organizations you work for? Just kind of start asking about him. What got you involved in this business? You know, what do you think are the most important criteria of fundraising? How does it work, you know? What do you find is effective that works for you? What do you find that's not effective? I mean, there's a whole flurry of questions that you can ask just to educate yourself about how fundraising is done. Now, it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with Manatech per se, but you are becoming what? You're becoming a fundraiser, not a network marketer. You're going to be approaching these entities with brainstorming on alternative ways of generating income. That's what this is about. So you want to make sure your brain is functional and that you have information that's going to allow you to feel more proficient than you would just knocking on a door. So learn how fundraising is done and talk to them about best approaches. Locating foundations in your area. Let's talk about that a little bit because that's an important thing. To locate foundations in your area, you can do a Google search on it. That's one way. Any kind of internet search will work for you to find. Just put your local area and expand it as you need to find foundations. You can go to local grant offices where much info is accumulated on foundations. And let me just give you an idea. because, of course, I come from a larger community, the Dallas-Fort Worth area. But I'm just going to talk to you a little bit about a foundation or information center that Lydia and I used when we did some fundraising for an entity about, I don't know, this was like 5 years ago, I think, that we did this work. But we found an entity called Funding Information Center, FIC, and I'm not sure. I don't think it's just a local organization to Fort Worth. It's located in Fort Worth. You could actually look them up on the internet and look at their website. It's called Funding Information Center, FIC, Better Communities Through Successful Nonprofits. Isn't that great? I mean, that's what they're talking about, Better Communities Through Successful Nonprofits. So again, get the gist of what this is about. Some of you are unfamiliar with nonprofits. You know, this is the viewpoint that communities take. The more nonprofits we have, the better the community we have. Why? Because the better services you have to offer for many people at different levels, at community services. So by going to the Funding Information Center, what we were able to do is do a lot of research on nonprofits. So we might have started off with a list. I think our original list was like over, 800 nonprofits in the Dallas-Fort Worth. I think we even isolated it to Fort Worth, but it was huge. It was massive. Because every Tom, Dick, and Harry sets up a nonprofit. I mean, a guy's educational fund for his kids could be called a nonprofit. So there's so many different kinds of nonprofits that you really got to weed through all of them. A lot of them won't apply for what we're trying to do. But that's why you need to start with a big group and then weed it out and narrow it down to which ones are going to be most effective or what relationships would be most effective for you. So, and here's just an idea, the Nonprofit Source of Education and Funding Research Assistance. That's what's at this Funding Information Center. The Funding Information Center provides nonprofits and donors with information, education, and other assistance. Their resources cover the spectrum of funding information, nonprofit management best practices, and regulation and compliance. They offer both free and fee-based services to ensure the success of charitable organizations in their community. Isn't that great? There's a resource there. So find out if you have one of those or something like kind of that in your local area, and then go visit them. All right. They also have different things that they have, web and audio conferences. Like in our organization here, the Association of Fundraising Professionals, AFP, talk about trying to locate a fundraising professional who makes money. That's his job. Contact the Association of Fundraising Professionals, AFP. Everybody got that? That's another great resource. Well, the AFP has a web audio conference called Raising More Money from Your Business Community, and that one's coming up August 24th. 2011, 11:30 a.m. is networking, and 12 o'clock is the webinar. So that's what's going on for us. We have that coming up here in our local area in Dallas-Fort Worth. But you can look up Research AFP, go to their website, and find out what's going on, and there's something you can be attending. And they talk about new requests for proposals listed on the funding opportunities page to view a list of upcoming funding opportunities, background checks, did you know? So they do background checks and screening appropriate individuals, the staff and volunteer. So they have all sorts of services that they provide, right? And then they even have a word power for social media. They're doing a special training just on how to use social media like Facebook and Twitter to, you know, raise fund or get the awareness out there. So all those things are available through Funding Information Center. So I'm suggesting that you go out and start feeling these things out so that you are, again, laying the foundation for you to be the best you can be in approaching nonprofits. I'm suggesting that when you locate foundations in your area, that one of the criteria you might use to start, eliminating some of them, that once you get down to eliminating ones that are just basically for private interest, in other words, people that are just raising money for their kids, children, or something like that, you get rid of all those individual ones, then you want to isolate, find ones that are related in some way, shape, or form to our cause. So you're going to find foundations that are, go after children, anything, and there's plenty of foundations that relate to children, nutrition or health, any of those areas, those would be right up your line with what we're trying to do. So because there's going to be an immediate alignment with Manatech and immediate need that they're going to see, so you don't have to sell people on what? the need for greater health in our community. That's not going to be something that needs to be. You're going to find somebody that has a like heart in that area, and then that's going to make it easier for you to break through that door. So, again, start with causes that are consistent with our cause. And another reason why you want to do that is that the nonprofit model works best when there's a product that they're selling. And that's in the article I gave you, the social entrepreneurship article, which it said in there, it says, an education nonprofit, for instance, could sell tutoring services. As long as the product or service is directly related to the mission, the income remains tax exempt. So there could be thought through all this that the possibility exists that the Manatech income that flows into their entity, if they're health, children, nutrition related, that's a related product that they're indirectly selling through their Manatech business. So there's somewhat of a possibility, and I'm not giving you legal advice on this, but it gives you the best possibility of maintaining more tax-exempt income as if it's a donation because it's income related to the sale of products that are directly and consistent with the mission of that foundation. All right? So there's another reason why you might want to aim towards the similar cause, not only to be more palatable to the people, but also that they have the prospect of potentially getting a tax-exempt income. Other ways, Yellow Pages might also provide you with additional leads, and there are plenty of other ways of finding leads. In fact, I'll just give you an idea. This morning, if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, which many are not, or you can go and look at the Dallas Morning News on the internet. But there was a huge article right on smack on the front page. It said charities, and it talks about Design to Dwell. There's a relatively new tax exempt that is all about increasing. It's called Dwell with Dignity, and it's helping people, number one, locate affordable housing, but more importantly, they go in and they help to decorate in a very inexpensive way, decorate the whole apartment so that the person has pride in their living arrangements. Because, of course, they feel that a person's home can influence a person's outlook and potentially help break the cycle of poverty. So if they help the person take pride in their home, that's going to have so much more to do with them performing at a different level as they, you know, leave the home, they adopting better habits to protect what they have, because they'll put more value in their living arrangements. So it's just a neat, I fell in love with it. In fact, I said to Lydia, I was interested in calling up and saying, you know what, I'm going to do some volunteer work for your foundation. Because I love that kind of stuff. I think that's great. I think it's great. I'm actually going after my niece and my stepdaughter to participate in that foundation because both of them are real artsy, very decorator-minded, and they're frustrated interior decorators because they're, you know, my stepdaughter's raising kids and she doesn't get to do it. That's kind of a passion of hers. Of course, she's a little expensive on her taste, so we'd have to quash that. But the intrigue is that it would allow her a release. If she could put in an hour or two a week or 5 hours a week, whatever, helping this organization out, I think it'd be awesome. So, but you can even find them in your local newspapers where you get highlights of different non-tax exempts that are doing great work in your community. So keep your eyes open for your reading the newspaper as well. Okay? So anyway, so that gives you some ideas. Hopefully, you know, something new for some of you, but some of you have already been through this, but it's just to give you some idea of what to, how to find, you know, do that research and finding, and then really delving into what is the gist of these nonprofits so you're not just knocking on doors blindly. How to approach them. And again, this is a lot of this stuff. Wendy Kramer's work, it was great that she put on her website, and I recommend that you go, you know, look through all of that as well. And you know, one of the first things she says is understand who you are, that you're, you know, you don't approach this from a network marketing perspective. You're not going in there knocking a door for network marketing. If you do that, you're going to fail. Now, these people, they're not interested in network marketing. And really, once you take away the All-Star Pack and the automatic monthly order, they're not network marketing. What they're doing is they're just converting purchases into income for themselves as well as developing another purpose in terms of through their fundraising, they're actually, you know, solving yet another major social problem. And that's an awesome thing. Most people want to be associated with that. Let me highlight to you guys another thing that happened. We're already starting with chiropractors. We have our second one now that has adopted the program of Give for Real. They are doing publicity stunts. We're getting newscasts on it. It's just great that we have people who are saying that these are for-profits, okay? So you can go after for-profits and talk to them about building a program where they're going to get the publicity that they're totally committed to eliminating global malnutrition in kids. And people can come and hear why and how it's being done, and all you need to do is participate like this. You know, this is our mechanism of making a greater global contribution. And they're loving it. So I think that's a whole new program, and I guess Lydia and I can teach on that as well, but it's very much just what we're doing here. It's just doing it with for-profits instead of not-for-profits. But again, it's an approach of how to raise income, but it's more of an approach of how do we make a bigger difference? How do we distinguish you from other people in the community? How do you get your name out? It's a marketing, it's kind of a marketing shtick as well. The approach to nonprofits, again, you're a fundraiser, not a network marketer, so come from a fundraiser perspective. Your business cards, as Wendy Kramer says, also need to be non-network marketing. If people have seen my business card lately, it says live your passion. I believe that's the language. Live your passion. It has a picture of Mary Jo and live your passion. And that's really what I love to teach people today is live your passion, whatever that passion is. And passion might be Manatech, it might be nonprofit, it might be whatever it is, but live it. I mean, live in it, thrive in it. Allow it to drive you. It's a passion, you know, as I put it, God laid it on your heart, run with it and run with the wind. And anything's possible, so you just got to, you know, commit to it and make it happen. So make sure your business cards reflect they're not Manatech or network marketing, you know, and make millions of dollars. You know, that's not the approach that you want to come in there with. Third, research should already have located the fundraiser. So you have knowledge. Once you do all the background research, you're going to have knowledge of who the decision makers are. You're going to be somewhat familiar with the process that you're going to have to go through. As Wendy says, when you walk in the front door, don't expect you're going to walk out with a commitment because it's going to be a one-step and a multi-step process because the fundraiser doesn't get to just unilaterally do what he wants to. They have to make presentations to the executive director, and then there's a board that has to sign off on it. So there's a multiple step process of decision-making that occurs in most of your nonprofits, unless they're really, really small. But you want to find something of substance so you get a bigger, you know, bang for your buck. You want to try to get people that have more donor lists and non-donor lists, and we'll talk about that in a minute. And again, I reiterate in my outline, if you're not willing to spend the time, don't start, because this isn't something like going out and meeting somebody and handing them a DVD and failing to follow up. This is huge. You're going to be building a relationship here over time. And finally, languaging on approaching. The first one I did, I just gave you some samples. I gave you Wendy's language that comes off of her stuff, which, again, you can find on her website. What kind of fundraising programs have you done in the past? You can talk about that and say, could I have 30 minutes of your time to show you a unique fundraising program that could create a substantial amount of ongoing funding for your organization? That's great language, right? I came up with a little different approach. I just said, I would talk to them first. After seeing the City Limits article, I would probably talk to them about, you know, during this recession, I can understand, you know, kind of an understanding of how tough it is with fundraising. And you could say, you know, one of the main points that, you know, a recent article made was that it's important for nonprofits to brainstorm on new ways of generating income. If there was a way to fundraise whereby each dollar you raise for your organization also went towards saving a child from malnutrition, might you be interested? Now, when I gave that language to Lydia, she almost fell out of her chair. So she said, you better put that in the outline. But that might be, you know, something that you present people with. But it wouldn't be that alone, but, you know, tie it into the idea of brainstorming about new ways of generating income. If there was a way for your fundraising that every single time you received a dollar, because that's the truth, when they receive income from Manatech, how do they make income from Manatech? Because products have been sold underneath them. So every time they get income from Manatech, for every dollar, they know that there's a contribution being made to at-risk children dying of global malnutrition, right? So it's a perfectly great statement to say, and I think that, you know, it's just a neat thing to tie the two together. So that's the kind of language you're going to looking for, languaging that's going to generate some emotional involvement by these people. And that might be enough to trigger intrigue by them, because when have they ever done fundraising where not only did they earn money, but just purely by the fundraising approach itself, they were helping yet another huge global cause. And that's where I like to emphasize it. I think that's a big one for people to see, that they can have a win-win situation. All right. So again, multiple ways of doing it. You choose. There's many other languaging that you can use. It's just a matter of choice. But you want that first call to be impactful to get what? The first appointment, right? So that's the important thing. It's got to be something that's impactful enough to generate them to be interested in seeing you and spending that 15 minutes or 30 minutes with you. And I would suspect I would probably shoot more for 20 minutes. If it goes 30, that's fine. But it sounds just a little more, you know, they're going to look at their time schedule and know how busy they are, so stick with that. But I wouldn't say 10 minutes and go in and spend an hour with them. And what happens in these meetings is that the reason they spend more time with you is because they get totally entrenched and attracted to what you're doing. And then it's okay, because now they're really on fire, so they have no problem spending an hour with you. But to start it off, they want to make sure that they're not dedicating excessive amount of time for something they may not have interest in. Right? Okay. Your first appointment, as you go in the door, what have you already got under your belt? You've already done all the research on that non-for-profit, because you did the research in preparation of the first phone call. So you've already got that done. But so what's important for you is to be prepared in how your approach, what is your approach going to look like? You want to be, you also want to have an approach where you're going in with a discovery heart as well. You want to be some people have a hard time doing this, and you got to really work on it. How do I be a great teller and a great listener at the same time? Intriguing, isn't it? Probably the number one thing that caused network marketers to fail in closing people is that they feel like they have to be the teller all the time, and they stop emphasizing the most important part of their communication, which is their listening side. So when you walk in, you want to be, I want to hear everything they have to say. I want to take in all their information. When they give you some information that you weren't aware of, you can go, great, you know, I didn't get that when I did the research on your foundation. Let them know you've spent some time looking at their foundation. You know, you can even talk about how, you know, you're so honored to be able to work with them because of their incredible commitment in their mission statement, you know, and those kind of things. And just like any prospect, you want to find out more about them. You can ask some questions about them, even though you might know some of it because you've done such an extensive amount of research. You can ask some questions. And what's even more cool is if you go in on your first meeting and you start off the meeting with talking about what you saw and their mission statement, and you said, oh, I was intrigued by this. What did you mean by this? And you might find something that's intriguing. That's going to let them go, wow, this woman really did her job. She did her homework. That's going to open the doors to you like nothing else, because it shows how much you care. If you knock on the door of a nonprofit, you go to a meeting and you know nothing about them, what they've done in the past, their recognition in the newspaper, how they're changing and impacting the community, you know, they're not going to sit there and want to tell you their entire whole story, because that's going to take a half an hour in and of itself. So you want to acknowledge them for what you've researched, what you've seen, and maybe have one little question about something that might have intrigued you. What a great way to end. And now you have that heart-to-heart connect. You have that care. They know how much you care because you spend a lot of time understanding who they are. All right? So that's going to be your preliminary thing. And then you have to outline, what are your objectives in the meeting? Well, you want them to discover who you are. What is this Manatech company? What are these products you're talking about, right? What is the Give for Real program, the company of destiny here, felt led out of prayer that this is their destiny, right? And now, how does it work for them? What can that look like? And I would, again, add the tie-in to their already existing purpose, how the mutuality of the two are so awesome, to see how it fits so well. Again, this only applies if you're going after foundations that have a corresponding purpose around nutrition, health, children, whatever, okay, or international. Okay, so that's what you want to do. Make sure that you have that languaging down. If you feel uncomfortable, you know, then draft some languaging in advance. Get some languaging that's going to support you. Now, talking about strategy, ooh, we only have a few minutes left. Let's make sure we get through this because I want to let you guys off a little early so you can be on the 11 call. The strategy, who to market to. A lot of the materials, including Wendy's, go after the donor list, okay? And let me talk to you about that. I think that's a great list of people. I think going after their donor list can, but I'm going to suggest to you that my knowledge around foundations is that they're very, very protective of their donors. I mean, they treat their donors with secrecy, like they're gold or diamonds. I mean, these are invaluable assets to them. So when you start knocking on their door saying, hey, throw this out at all your donors and da-da, to me, that might be a little aggressive in terms of their view of their relationship with their donors. So my approach is really going to be looking at it, you know, there's like a two-prong approach here. Because you can say, I know every foundation does tremendous fundraising. And there are always those people that say no to you, right? And they're going to say, absolutely. I said, do you have a list of them? And they'll probably say, we have cabinets full of lists of people who have said no. And I'm going to say, maybe that's the group we really start with. And we build a groundswell around some of those people. Because listen to what you can write in a letter to somebody who said no in terms of a donation. You go back to the people, and you can draft a letter that says, you know what, we've approached you in the past. We know your heart's in the right place, but for some reason you didn't feel it was the time for you to make a donation to our organization. Today we have a whole new program that we're putting in place that's a win-win for you in many ways. It's a way you can actually make a donation to us merely by making a greater commitment to your own health. And let me explain how that works. And then you work it. And talk about replacing their vitamin, da-da-da-da-da. You follow me? I think it's an incredibly effective way because now they can say, we just knew you had a heart and passion for our organization. We thought this might be a mechanism that you could see yourself involved in pouring into our organization. So you would be in a win-win scenario. You'd be making a contribution to us, and you'd be making a contribution to yourself at the same time, as well as knowing that you also are helping us in a secondary purpose, which is to help stop global malnutrition in children. So you can see how effective that kind of way. So I'm taking an approach that maybe it's not that you choose one or the other, but you tell them it's a two-prong approach. They can approach a donor base and the non-donor base. And what a way to look at it. If you can't get these people over here to donate money to you, maybe, you know, they're perfect for the Manatech program. Because eventually, if you get 100 of those or 1,000 of those on board, they're going to be giving you more money than maybe your donors are. So, I mean, again, it's something to look at as another opportunity to go after that. And fundraising letters, example of content. I think it's important for us to talk about the current economic downturn and what that means to us. But one of the things that we definitely don't want to ever cut back on is our health. And that's why we find this new, exciting program to be one that fits everyone's needs, because you want to put your health first. Stress is, you know, hurting us all into our time. So you can start talking about that in your fundraising letter. You can talk about rid the duplication of efforts by utilizing multi-purpose fundraising. That's great language, because what you're really doing here is you're ridding your multi-purpose fundraising is the purpose of their foundation in addition to stomping out global malnutrition. So we're actually going after two causes with one letter. Isn't that great? So we're getting rid of the duplication of efforts through multi-purpose fundraising. Reward donors by making it a win-win. So what you're doing is you're really incentivizing them. We're building an incentive for them to take action because there's a huge benefit they have. Not only are they contributing to your organization, they're also making a contribution to stomp out global malnutrition, and they're also making a contribution to their own health. So it's you're incentivizing them and that kind of language is good to use, incentivize. We thought this would be an incentive for you to make a difference, not just with our organization, which some people look at as, you know, I have to give up cash to do that. But now the idea is you're not giving up anything because all you're doing is shifting your vitamin supplement. And look at what you're getting, the win-win-win, out of just shifting a vitamin supplement, right? All right, so that's create a program, repetitive income. That's the other thing that helps sells. That wouldn't be in the letter per se, but that would be something that helps sells the foundation on why your program. You want a flyer to describe the program, much like what Wendy has, but again, I'd put it more in a directional of multi-purpose fundraising and this, you know, commitment. And offer, also, don't forget to offer a website link to a manage page for them. That's a possibility that they have, that they can link off of their foundation website. They can have a link to a manage page so they can have direct contributions being made on an internet basis without even the fundraising letter. There are other ways that people might visit their site and say, want to contribute in a new and direct way that it's a win-win for you, here's how to do that. And you might link them into it. So you have some kind of blip on their website that allows them to fundraise in a different way. So you might be attracting, just by attracting people to your website, you could be getting new donations through this kind of program. All right, people, that's all I have. How about feedback? Anyone, did this help any of you? Quiet group today.
Yeah, Mary Jo. Hi.
Hi, Fran.
Hi.
A little bit different than what you...
Yeah, can you get a little bit of wordage out in your spare time in the future here about how it would benefit the donor?
I like
you touched on that, and if you could play with some words on that. The three levels of... of how the donor, or there are two levels at least, the donor would,
Absolutely,
yeah.
It's three. Because they get to contribute to your foundation, which you've always wanted to do but maybe didn't have the resources to do. Number two, you're contributing to your own health because you're taking a vitamin that's clearly superior to what you're taking today. And number three, you can know that you're helping stomp out global malnutrition every month of your life.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So I don't know if you can expand on that and play with some wordage there. I think that would be huge for all of us.
Great. Okay. Good, good, good. In fact, maybe that just to draft up a fundraising letter that that approaches that, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
Excellent.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think the thing that we haven't focused on much on this so far is the benefit to the donor regarding their health.
Yeah, exactly. In
that's
fact,
been
I even
kind of weak.
Yeah. In fact, when I looked, I like Wendy's, the circle that she's drawn, but I really think the donor needs to have arrows coming back to him in more ways. The arrow that comes back to him is from global malnutrition. Well, wait a minute, you know, their arrows coming back to the donor are significant, right? I mean, there's tremendous coming. And so it's funny because I tried to play around with a new diagram, and it's so much more complex. And I know Wendy's done a great job with hers, but there's a complexity there that I think is overlooked that I think that needs to be more evident. And I think it can be, you know, Lydia and I are playing, we played with it over the weekend and we're still working on it, but we don't want to make it so complicated that people, you know, don't get it. Oh, I'm sorry, you guys, 11 o'clock call starting, so let you all go. Love you all, and we're just know we're working on it, okay?
Thanks,
all right, thanks, Fred. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.